So do we have any questions from what Cal talked about tonight?
No.
Okay, no questions.
Man, I was thorough. Yes, sir.
I can't.
Everything's recorded, so you got to do it. We might be able to do it.
It is slightly off topic, but I'll try to keep it close. So our pastor's going through Hebrews. I'm sure he's going to get to this verse in the next couple of weeks. But in chapter 13, verses 15 through 16, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." And that's kind of one of what the questions around the sacrifice of praise. What does that mean? But then it goes on to say, continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. And it reminds me of the story, I think it's in First Chronicles, that David wanted to give a sacrifice. And I think he went to Ornan, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But, and Ornan is like, "I'll give you the land, I'll give you the ox to sacrifice, you know, whatever." And he says, "Well, that doesn't cost me anything."
That's right.
So it's meaningless. I need to pay full price. And I'm not sure if that's too off topic, but what does the sacrifice of praise mean to you?
To me personally? So I would begin by saying that when in that specific circumstance, it was David was being very specific, not that he wanted to purchase whatever it was. He wanted it to come from him. And so from us, a sacrifice of praise may be a sacrifice that the guys that come here on Tuesday night, they give of their time, they give of their talent. It is a sacrifice to be a part of the worship team because they have to give up time. They have to give up. They have to learn songs. They have to spend time listening to those songs over and over and over again. So it is a sacrifice for them to be a part of that team. Now, that being said, it is also a praise for them to be a part of that team, right? So it's exciting for me to be able to stand in front of the congregation and lead worship on Sunday morning. That's something I get to do. I thoroughly love doing that. So it's a benefit for me too. It's a blessing to be able to do that, but it is also a sacrifice for us, and we are offering that sacrifice to God because it costs us something. That answer your question? Sure.
We often speak about it as practice on Tuesday. We feel like we're having a midweek worship service.
Amen. That's right.
We're not just here singing. We're actually
worshiping. And it's a real treat. Yeah. So what Barry was saying is that on Tuesday night, we actually have a worship service on Tuesday night. You know, we do come in and we practice and we try to make sure we do things so that on Sunday morning it goes well. That doesn't always happen, obviously. You know, sometimes we'll be singing and the screens will go out. We'll be like, but it's something that we get to do. We have that midweek worship, and because it's midweek worship, we open God's word as well. So we practice 1 week, and then we take a 10 or 15 minute break. Sometimes it's only 5, but we do a devotion straight from Scripture, and it'll be one of the guys on the team will do that. And that it's such a benefit for us, as Barry said. It's a worship service for us on Tuesday night. Blessing. It is a blessing for sure. Amen. Any other questions? Did I beat that one up so bad nobody wants to ask another question?
Not so loud that we can't, you know, hear ourselves sing.
Thank you guys in the back there who control all of that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Paul is actually, Paul Whitaker's actually asked us to turn up to 11 several times, so we had to tell him we can't. So.
I will ask a question, and I know you touched on it a little bit, but just for the congregations, what is the process of song selection?
So I would say first, is it rooted in Scripture? Okay, so it has to be rooted in Scripture, and it has to be what we believe here at Grace Harvest. We sung this morning, "This I Believe," right? And I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one, and that is exactly what we believe here. And so it has to be rooted in Scripture, number one, and then it has to be what we believe here. And what we believe here, by the way, is rooted in Scripture, so don't let me deter you from that. It has to be rooted in Scripture. The other thing is we have to consider singability, right? There are some songs that we have sung, and, you know, I look out in the congregation, and you're all like, no, we ain't doing that. And so we do it once, and then we don't do it again. And then there are other songs from a singability perspective that, you know, you guys latch right onto, and you'll see us do those more often because it's something that the congregation enjoys and gets into. Now, without being too technical, we do alter the meter sometimes, which means we speed it up or we slow it down depending on, you know, the singability. We also alter the key. Sometimes we'll bring that key down so that it's medium range for everybody. See, because if we got up here and we sang everything high, there'd be people out there that'd be saying, "Why are they doing that? I can't go there." You see, Barry would be out there. And so, you know, we look at all of those things. First, is it rooted in Scripture? Second, the singability. And then three, is it something the congregation enjoys doing? You know, because if it's not a song that you enjoy, or it's really hard to focus on getting the words out, then you're not worshiping, you're working. And we don't want you to work, we want you to worship. That's right, and that I should have put in front, but I would hope that everybody would know that. One of the things that's extremely important is to make it relevant to the pastor's message that day. And so, you know, the pastor talked about love today, and so we sang about love today. We don't always know 100% what direction the pastor's going in when he sets up his message, but we know what we can look at the Scripture, know what the Scripture says, and get an idea of what he's going to talk about. Now, I do not do the invitation song until the day of, until after he has gone through maybe 2/3 of his message most of the time, before I make a determination on what we're going to do as far as the invitation song. And if you see me on my cell phone, I used to get up and walk to the back, but now I actually text Caleb, and Caleb pulls a song up for us, or Steve pulls a song up for us based off of that text. So if you see me on my cell phone, it's a quick text to those guys in the back to get whatever invitation song ready. So that's a good question. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah.
Can I add two things to that? Or
yeah, absolutely.
One is just because we have some students in here, and we do sing on Wednesday night. We have some that are going to be coming up. Definitely exact same thing Cal's talking about. Look on how is it we jettison some that are hard to sing, and we want to make sure it's based on Scripture. We typically pull whatever they have. I'll tell you, I also kind of strategic to make sure, like Cal was talking about, memorizing God's Word. My criteria for me personally is, if these kids were stuck on a desert island and didn't have a copy of the Scriptures, what have they memorized through song to teach them? Okay? And so that's one of our criteria. The other thing I want to tell you or recommend to you is, if you have small children or grandchildren, there's a couple of good resources to go to. Seeds Music It's just straight scripture. And they even offer some with hand motions, that sort of thing, but we've really enjoyed that. Rain for Roots is a group as well. It's a little more geared towards younger children, but it's straight scripture. Those are some great places. I have a list that I've been building on. If you're interested in that, I'd be happy to give it to you. But those are some great places to be for children. But Seeds is just, they take the passage and sing the passage. And Rain for Roots is going to take a little more creative license, but it's very close to Scripture as well.
Go ahead.
I guess one question that I was kind of thinking of is like the role of secular music, or like, it doesn't have to be bad, you know, classical or, you know, rap, as we said, like, how should that relate to our, you know, gospel singing music?
So let me see if I can put that question back in the context I think it was asked in. Are you asking me as worship leader how I feel about specific genres of... Well, if you're going to ask me, I'm going to say you should be listening to the music we sing here. And so the reason that I say that is because it is rooted in Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't listen to secular music. I'm not the music police. I would tell you, this is the perspective I would give it to you from. If you believe what you're listening to is God-honoring, then have at it. If you don't believe what you're listening to is God-honoring and is going to be detrimental to you in regards to your walk with Christ, I wouldn't listen to it. That's the closest I can get for you there, brother. Deep. That's a deep question right there now.
Just one more question for me, just for congregational knowledge. Can you explain special music? The church is dealing with special music.
I certainly can. That's a really good question, and I will answer that very quickly. We don't do special music here, and we do congregational music, because when it comes right down to it, what the church should be doing is congregational music. There's nowhere in Scripture that I can see that individuals were selected out to sing. Now, that doesn't mean that individuals did not sing, because obviously Miriam sang, right? So Miriam sang a song, and you can see that Deborah sang. And so there are people that did have individuals singing in there. But in the context of church, congregational music is what we should be doing. And this is Cal's belief. There are other churches that do other things. And Pastor Mark and I have spoken on this several times. We believe that congregational music is the right way to go for us here. Now, there are circumstances where... you may see individual songs that are done by individual people, and in most cases that's because it's not a song that is really conducive for singing as a group or conducive as singing as a congregation. But it is important to the pastor because of a specific message that it delivers. Okay? And that's, we're always going to defer on the side of the message, right? You know, what is the message of the song? What are we trying to communicate as far as the song is concerned? Is it to God or is it about God? Good question. Hope I answered that. Yes, ma'am.
Music for me, because they make me think. about what I'm actually listening to and not taking it for granted that Christian music is delivering the message that it should. And this is going to be specific to you, Pastor Mark, because you said something very early on when we were here about songs about fire, calling down fire from heaven. And I have kept that in my head, and I keep hearing these songs. And I won't sing those words because I don't really know. So can you explain that a little bit more about what, maybe if you can even remember sure. that, what that means and why that's bad?
Yeah, I do remember that, because I was thinking I was going to answer that when there was a question just a moment ago by Caleb, but I just said, no, I won't open up that can of worms. But I find myself not listening to Christian radio. I will tell you that right now. That's personal because of the false teaching that you hear in songs on Christian radio. It's just a lot of it's false teaching. And so what I do is I listen to Spotify, and I will pull up hymns. My wife will tell you this is funny, because I was the guy that never would listen to hymns when I first became a believer. Thought they, like, I am not 70 years old. I don't want to listen like I'm getting ready to die. I want, you know, I was a rock and roll kid. And so I wanted anything, you know, Petra. I don't know if anybody, you remember Petra back in the day. Something like that was a Christian rock band in the 70s. And, you know, I could listen to that. But I'm very cautious of what I listen to, and would encourage you to show that discernment. When don't just listen to a song that has a Christian title to it, and it's heresy in it. You know, there was a song that was sung, and I don't mean to belittle these people, because I think earnestly that some of these are believers, but they're confused. And when they sing about song, and she's got a really sweet voice, but she says, Holy Spirit, you're invited here. Well, I got news for you. The Holy Spirit could care less whether you invite him here or not. He's here, and he indwells in us. So, you know, you're welcome here. Well, so do we have to invite him? Is he waiting out in the lobby for him to come out here on Sunday mornings? Or if we don't sing those kind of songs? So, and that's the way I feel about it, and feel very strongly about that. And we are, you know, I really appreciate Cal. I've had conversations with him in the past where we've sung songs and say, hey, Cal, you know, I don't think that's fitting. And to be fair, Cal has come to me and says, hey, this is a song I'd like to sing, and this is the reason why, Pastor. So we have, we're blessed to have that here. Speak briefly about special music as well. We're not opposed to having special music events here. We just, you know, the staff is limited in what we can do and the resources that we have. And so we would love to be able to have things where we have events. We've had events here at our 10th anniversary. Some of you have not been here that long, but so that was like 3 years ago. We had the Liberty Singers come and they sang. So we're not opposed to doing things like that. But as Cal said, on Sunday mornings, our focus is on Christ and Him crucified, to give glory to God and not to individuals. And when Cal first came here, when I sat down with Cal and Gina, and they came from, how many members in that church you came from, Cal?
1,500.
And they come to a church with 40 people. Okay? And so, obviously, God had to be working in a life to come. And I remember one of the things that I was excited about was I remember Cal singing all the time all these solos at Swift Creek. And I was thinking, this will be great. We'll have this, him and Gina will get there, and they'll sing, and we'll bring in the crowds. Okay? That's what I was thinking. And Cal burst that bubble right away, and he said, look, one thing we're not going to do is special music. I was like, oh. There goes my pipe dream. But again, he's given you sound reason why we do what we do. But anyway, so that's to answer your question. I hope that answered. And I appreciate somebody listening.
Yeah, and I think certain things like concepts for music, certain things like, okay, we talk about, you know, chains being broken. Like, we understand we're in bondage to our sin. But then you come up with a song like, you know, he's a chain breaker, and we form this whole theology over this idea that's like one step removed from Scripture. Even that kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit. And we talk about, you know, fear is a liar, right? Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 10:12-13 that that one of the things God's asked of his people is to fear him. Fear is a great indicator of truth. We ought not to forget it. You know, I get where they're trying to get with that, but I just think it's kind of done the wrong way.
Well, when we talk about fire, we're talking about judgment from God.
That's right.
So I would have to look it up, okay. But I'll get it for you. But it's God's consuming fire. Hmm. He's a consuming fire. That's referring to. There's nowhere in Scripture that you see fire talked about in the way that they put their songs.
Cal just said, we see the fire of God consuming the prophets of Baal.
Yeah,
you don't really want that to happen.
What did he do with Aaron's sons?
Yeah, consumed in fire.
So, you know, when fire comes down, I'm not calling fire from heaven down. Because the first person he's going to burn up is me.
Amen.
You got a verse?
Yeah, it's in Luke.
And it reads what?
When the disciples James and John saw that, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?"
Yeah, that's another passage. And look. Well, never mind. That's a whole sermon.
Yeah, but I do think what they're trying to do with that comment is talking about passion, right? And so they're trying to refer to the same kind of fervor and vigor we see when it looked like tongues of fire falling on the new converts in Acts, which is a transitionary book. It's transitionary. It's not normative, right? So we don't sit there and call that down and expect that. That leads us to some very hinky stuff going on.
That's really good.
Well, I mean, it says in Hebrews, well, we know that our God is a consuming fire.
These are good questions.
Yeah, y'all are getting really deep. That's good. It's good because it's really important that we understand that there is truth of Scripture in songs, but there's also false teaching in songs. Don't miss that. You know, we're in a Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class from upstairs, the Old Testament class, and a group from downstairs, and the ladies from downstairs are all together for Sunday school class, and we're actually going through American Gospel. And we saw today, you know, a great example of the prosperity gospel and how it's being spread, and how actually the United States, America, is the one that's spreading it throughout the world. And when in reality, you know, it's false teaching. And false teaching can be done in music as well. So it's important to be able to have discernment when you're listening to music.
Any others? Well, folks, thanks again for coming out. I don't know about y'all. I really enjoy this time we have as a church family, and as we get time to fellowship. And thank you, Cal and Tom, Sunday school class. Was your class prepared tonight? Thank you so much. Group that came and worked so hard downstairs to enjoy my wife's favorite food. So she's a happy person tonight. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to close this out in prayer. And again, if you didn't get a chance to get a Build the Body pamphlet, please get that. Continue to be in prayer. I'm looking forward to seeing my family group tomorrow night. And may you guys have a blessed week. Oh, do we need to get a pair of chairs up, Pastor Jamie?
Yes.
And the men, and ladies who want to help, chairs. Father, what a joy and a privilege it is, Father, to be able to come and hear your word proclaimed in truth tonight. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for a group of believers that, Lord, we keep the main thing the main thing, and that's your Son and him crucified. And may we always do that. Lord, I thank you for laying the message on Cal's heart tonight as we discussed why we sing. Lord, may we reflect on that. And may we, who are yours, continue to worship, not only you in song, Father, but let our lives reflect that worship.
Amen.
And I ask all this in the precious name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.